So turning now in the scriptures, we come to Isaiah in chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, we're reading there, Isaiah 30 through verse 20 of chapter 32. We're reading chapters 30 through 32. Beloved, hear now the word of the Lord to us, His people. Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan, but not mine, and make an alliance, but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me, to take refuge in the safety of Pharaoh, and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore the safety of Pharaoh will be your shame, and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt your humiliation. For their princes are at Zoan, and their ambassadors arrive at Hanes. Everyone will be ashamed because of a people who cannot profit them, who are not for help or profit, but for shame and also for reproach. The oracle concerning the beasts of Negev. Through a land of distress and anguish, from where come lioness and lion, viper and flying serpent. There they carry their riches on the backs of young donkeys and their treasures on camels' humps, to a people who cannot profit them. Even Egypt, whose help is vain and empty, therefore I have called her Rahab, who has been exterminated. Now go, write it on a tablet before them, and inscribe it on a scroll, that it may serve in the time to come as a witness forever. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, sons who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, since you have rejected this word and have put your trust in oppression and guile and have relied on them, therefore this iniquity will be to you like a breach about to fall, a bulge in a high wall whose collapse comes suddenly in an instant, whose collapse is like the smashing of a potter's jar, so ruthlessly shattered that a shear will not be found among its pieces. To take fire from a hearth or to scoop water from a cistern. For thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength, but you were not willing. And you said, no, for we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee. And we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one man. You will flee at the threat of five. Until you are left as a flag on a mountaintop and as a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitants in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation, the word of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, and you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver and your molten images plated with gold, you will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. Then he will give you rain for the seed which you will sow in the ground and bread from the yield of the ground. And it will be rich and plenteous. On that day your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Also the oxen and the donkeys which work the ground will eat salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and on every high hill there will be streams running on with water on the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun. The light of the sun will be seven times brighter. like the light of 7 days on the day of the Lord, day the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. Behold, the name of the Lord comes from a remote place. Burning is his anger and dense is his smoke. His lips are filled with indignation. His tongue is like a consuming fire. His breath is like an overflowing torrent, which reaches to the neck to shake the nations back and forth in a sieve, and to put in the jaws of the peoples the bridle which leads to ruin. You will have songs as in the night when you keep the festival, and gladness of heart as when one marches to the sound of the flute, to go to the mountain of the Lord, to the rock of Israel. And the Lord will cause his voice of authority to be heard, and the descending of his arm to be seen in fierce anger, and in the flame of a consuming fire, and a cloudburst, downpour, and hailstorms. For at the voice of the Lord, Assyria will be terrified when he strikes with the rod, and every blow of the rod of punishment which the Lord will lay on him will be with music of tambourines and lyres, and in battles, brandishing weapons, he will fight them. For Topheth has long been ready, and indeed it has been prepared for the king. He has made it deep and large, a pyre of fire with plenty of wood. The breath of the Lord, like a torrent of brimstone, sets it afire. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel nor seek the Lord. He also is wise and will bring disaster and does not retract his words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. So the Lord will stretch out his hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. For thus says the Lord to me, as the lion or the young lion growls over his prey, against which a band of shepherds is called out, and he will not be terrified at their voice nor disturbed at their noise, so will the Lord of hosts come down to wage war on Mount Zion and on its hill. Like flying birds, so the Lord of hosts will protect Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and rescue it. Return to him from whom you have deeply defected, O sons of Israel. For in that day, every man will cast away his silver idols and his gold idols, which your sinful hands have made for you as a sin. And the Assyrian will fall by a sword, not of man. And a sword not of man will devour him. So he will not escape the sword. And his young men will become forced laborers. His rock will pass away because of panic, and his princes will be terrified at the standard, declares the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose furnace is in Jerusalem. Behold, a king will reign righteously and princes will rule justly. Each will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm, like streams of water in a dry country, like the shade of a huge rock in a parched land. Then the eyes of those who see will not be blinded, and the ears of those who hear will listen. The mind of the hasty will discern the truth, and the tongue of the stammerers will hasten to speak clearly. No longer will the fool be called noble, or the rogue be spoken of as generous. For a fool speaks nonsense, and his heart inclines toward wickedness, to practice ungodliness and to speak error against the Lord, to keep the hungry person unsatisfied, to withhold drink from the thirsty. As for the rogue, his weapons are evil. He devises wicked schemes to destroy the wicked, the afflicted, with slander, even though the needy one speaks what is right. But the noble man devises noble plans, and by noble plans he stands. Rise up, you women who are at ease, and hear my voice. Give ear to my word, you complacent daughters. Within a year, a few days, you will be troubled, O complacent daughters, for the vintage is ended, and the fruit gathering will not come. Tremble, you women who are at ease. Be troubled, you complacent daughters. Strip, undress, and put sackcloth on your waist. Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vine, for the land of my people in which thorns and briars shall come up. Yea, for all the joyful houses and for the jubilant city, because the palace has been abandoned a populated city forsaken. Hill and watchtower have become caves forever, a delight for wild donkeys, a pasture for flocks, until the Spirit is poured out upon us from on high. And the wilderness becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field is considered as a forest. Then justice will dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness will abide in the fertile field. And the work of righteousness will be peace, and the service of righteousness, quietness, and confidence forever. Then my people will live in a peaceful habitation, and in secure dwellings, and in undisturbed resting places. And it will hail when the forest comes down, and the city will be utterly laid low. How blessed will you be, you who sow beside all waters, who let out freely the ox and the donkey. That is the word of the Lord. So Judah's confidence at this time against the threat of the Assyrians was in Egypt, not in the Lord. The prophet shows that their help is coming to nothing. Egypt is being exterminated, at verse 7 of chapter 30, because of their arrogance. The problem with Judah was its lack of faith. Assyria was coming to chastise the people, and they are to come to the Lord and repent, seeking His mercy. We see the covenant language that is in the theme of all the prophets in verses 12 to 14. They have rejected the word. They put their trust in other things, other peoples. And so now the lawsuit is coming upon them. And the preaching to them is from the prophet was distasteful to them. They didn't want it, as it is today for many in the church and even outside the church. They cry out, verse 10, speak to us pleasant words. Verse 11, let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. They want their ears tickled. Many in the church like that today. They don't want to hear about the Holy One of Israel. Well, we must keep praying that preachers and elders will have the boldness we find in the prophets of Scripture, that they will have that and preach with authority. There are two things that could summarize Judah's apostasy here. Now, the first, they are desiring a message that rewarded self-effort. Verse 16 and 17, their trust was in horses, their own strength. And second, their disobedience to the Lord was total. Verse 16, you said, no. Their disobedience was specifically manifested in a rejection of godliness and the covenant. The prophet was calling for faith and repentance, as the Lord had called to the people. Amidst all the rebellion, though, is grace offered. Verse 18, He longs to be gracious to you. He is a Lord who is long-suffering, this Holy One of Israel. And He will provide a teacher, and thus the word, verse 20. He will make those who repent and believe prosperous, verses 23 to 26. And so He will produce good yields for crops. Justice will be done. Chapter 31, verse 5, the language of passing over, the same passing over linked to the Passover, the blood sprinkled on the doorpost, and Yahweh still being a God who is a consuming fire. Chapter 30, verse 27. He will look after His own people, though. For there are images describing the Lord here as a lion. Chapter 31, verse 4. He is our shield, beloved. Our protector. Chapter 32 begins with the prediction of the coming King, who is our shelter. The Messiah will come. His disciples will be enlightened by the Spirit and be noble. Verse 8 of chapter 32. Then there's a warning to the women of Jerusalem. Here's the prophet rebuking them for their complacency. You see in verses 9 through 11, chapter 32. They were at ease in Jerusalem and Zion. And yet judgment is coming. And following the judgment of Jerusalem, verse 14, comes the outpouring of the Spirit. A great revival comes by His Spirit. And there are greater things here. Not greater than the Spirit, but great things. A new order of things will be established where there is fruitfulness and peace and righteousness and quietness and security and rest. Verses 16 through 20, not barrenness and all the opposite of those things. And so, beloved, God's people, we're tempted to look to Egypt instead of trusting in the Lord. It was misplaced confidence. But the prophet, the word of the Lord comes and calls the people of God to trust in His promises of deliverance for those who wait upon Him, for those who believe and repent. Just as we are to believe and repent of our sins and coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the age-old problem of the disease of the heart. And the remedy is faith and repentance in Jesus Christ. Judah did not heed the call. Israel did not heed the call. They were judged. They went into exile. But there is here promised a remnant. Beloved, you are here to heed the call that is given here. Repent and believe. Whether you're an unbeliever or believer, see your sin, repent, and turn to Jesus for salvation and for sanctification, that we may all be glorified. Let's pray. Our gracious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gives us the word, who speaks it, who breathes it out, all which is good for us to hear, even these many harsh words of judgment. And yet, Father, even in the midst of these words, You give promises of hope, promises of and calls to come and turn from sin and escape the judgment. And yet many often just do not turn. They choose to be hard in heart. Father, we ask that You would send Your Spirit to those who have rocky hearts and turn their hearts from stone to flesh by Your Spirit and cleanse them with the Word by Your Son, by His blood. Father, we praise You and thank You that You here give us that promise of a king that we have now, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who is over all, sovereign over all, rules over all. And we praise You that You have granted Him to us as a blessing to protect us, to be our shield, our rock, our strong tower. And so we can stand firm, even in the midst of a world which hates You, and hates the things that have to do with You, Your worship, Your church, Your people. Father, even in the midst of the church, visible, there are many who do not like You, who do not love You, but hate You, hate Your word, hate hearing how You are holy. They want their ears tickled. They want pleasant words, not the unpleasant words that rebuke them of their sin and call them to depend upon someone else besides themselves. Father, again, we pray that You would turn hearts to You. Use us in this to serve You, that we would be used in the proclamation of Your word, the gospel, to many, especially declaring the works of the Lord to all nations. Father, enable us to do this. We are frail. We don't always have the right words, but we know that Your words are right. And so cause us to speak the truth in love. Cause us to speak that which will save people by Your Spirit, and that is Your word, and not our own methods or means. Father, may the word dwell in us richly. Cause us to meditate upon it day and night. for those who are rulers and authorities over us. That you, as your Son, is King of Kings, ruling over them, over all the universe. Father, we ask that you would save those who are earthly authorities over us. Turn their hearts to rule according to your word, to your law. And Father, we ask that that you, through them, would show favor to us. That you'd be gracious and give us the ability to live peaceable lives on this earth. Father, we ask that you would be glorified. We praise you that you are sovereign and that you are the great holy judge of all. And yet even confessing such, we fear because we still sin. But give us confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness for us, already imputed to those who have believed, and our justification secured by your resurrection from the dead. So, Father, give us confidence now to continue worshiping you before the throne of grace, boldly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.